The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
I imagine that the key word as we approach and think about Pesach is a word that is probably used in many different contexts as well. And that word, I think, it's actually known as Zman Cheiroseinu, is freedom. Freedom is something that has been coveted throughout the generations, throughout the millennia. Everyone yearns, craves, wants to be free. And I thought maybe it would be appropriate this morning to analyze and contrast a few of the great historic champions of freedom. I guess the first and foremost should be Moshe Rabbeinu. But lahavdil elef alfei alofim havdolos, I would like to contrast two other champions or would-be champions or alleged champions of freedom with Moshe Rabbeinu. Permit me and forgive me. One wasn't even Jewish. His name was Darwin. Another, who was born Jewish, was Freud. And I'd like to try to compare and contrast the different freedoms or the different approaches or the different insights and accomplishments in the world of freedom between these three famous personalities. Darwin, as you may know, attempted to free us from the shackles, the chains, the bondage, freedom from slavery that mankind had suffered for thousands of years before he came on the scene. And he came up with a very novel idea to do so. And basically, and please, the scientists among you should forgive me for oversimplifying it, but the truth of the matter is it's probably a very accurate rendition. Basically, he came up with this idea of rendering mankind to the category of accident. We're accidents. That's it. Look at this group that we have gathered here today. A beautiful bunch of accidents. That's what we are. Not monkeys, that's a mistake. Because even the monkeys are accidents. We're all accidents. What happens to us if we are accidents? Wow. Accidents means no creation. No creation means not necessarily a creator. No creation, not a creator. What do you have? Freedom. Freedom. There's no creation, there's no creator. An accident is free to do as it pleases. Wow, that was simple enough. We're all free. I believe I have a theory, which I don't ask anyone to subscribe to, but I have a theory that Darwin and Freud really collaborated on this theory of evolution. And my theory of evolution goes like this. Freud was a Jewish entrepreneur. He's a businessman. He came up with a brilliant idea. He said that if we can free mankind from the shackles of creation and establish the idea that each and every human being that walks the face of this earth is purely here by a series of accidental occurrences. No reason, no purpose, no creation. Well, if these people are a bunch of accidents, they are going to be miserable, depressed. An accident? That's all I am. When I looked in the mirror this morning, I thought a lot of different words describing myself, but I really never thought about myself as an accident. That would be very insulting, very demeaning. He says, if we will convince mankind that they are a bunch of accidents, they will be depressed. No purpose, because accident, by definition, means something that happens without purpose. That means I have no purpose for being here if I'm just an accident. So I'm an accident. I have no purpose in being here. If I have no purpose in being here, there's probably nothing more depressing than that, not to have purpose. So I have no purpose. I get depressed. And there comes Sigmund Freud. He says, what we'll do is we'll psychologize them and psychoanalyze them and medicate them and drug them, make fortunes, as we see in the world today, and that's it. What a business. Now, I'm not sure that this really ever happened, this collaboration between the two of them, although it's not an irrational concept. But basically, they were trying to provide the world with freedom. Freud did it in his own way as well, by coming along and saying that we're not in control of ourselves. If we're not in control of ourselves because we've been programmed in such a way from birth and from earliest childhood experiences, so then we got to let people do whatever they want. Otherwise, they're going to be miserable. So he came up with this idea of freedom, a different kind of a freedom. A freedom because we really are made or forced to be a certain way. And in order to free us from that, just let everybody do what they want. So you got this, let everybody do what you want. You got this theory that says we're all a bunch of accidents. Wow, that explains the freedom that exists in the world today. And here we are, you know, a couple million of us all together compared to the billions in the world. And we're going to celebrate Zman Cheruseinu. Zman Cheruseinu? For those of us who are preparing for Pesach and cleaning for Pesach and not going away or not relying on whatever it may be in order not to have to clean for Pesach, it's not exactly reminiscent of freedom. And for those of us who think about the burdens upon us, like the 613 burdens that we have, or would you call them problems? And all of the other responsibilities that you have. We're celebrating freedom when the world out there, the accidents out there, they're truly the free people. They're free to do whatever they want. And Freud sanctions that in terms of whatever problems we may have inside. The only way to do it is do whatever you please. So what are we getting all excited about? Why are they bringing speakers here to speak before Pesach? Zman Cheruseinu? Zman Shibudeinu? Well, I know there might be some people who wish I stopped at this point, but maybe that's just for other reasons. However, I really think that it's very simple. And I think we should analyze this contrast in concepts of freedom from two different perspectives. Let's look at the world. Let's look at this wonderful world of free people. The last 175 years since people have begun to think of the possibility, by the way, the first time in history that humanity as a whole, not as a whole, but as large groups, significant groups, has entertained the possibility of our accidental existence. It was never even conceived of or thought of by any groups of people before that. Let's look at the results. What happens? Well, we seem to be doing quite well as a free world. The free world is faring very well. Well, what's the best business to be in today? Mortgages? Real estate? Stocks? You know what the best business is? Mental health. Do you know what a mental health professional with a minimal of training can charge per hour for 45 minutes? Make a fortune. Fortunes, fortunes. I have a fund to pay some mental health professionals' bills, and that's unbelievable. It's one of the highest items on our expense budget. It's the best business to be in. But that's not all. Suicide rates, up. Alcohol and drug abuse, up. Depression, down. No, you know what I mean, up. What's going on? Where's the freedom? The world is free. Darwin freed the slaves. Freud helped them out. Well, that plan is working. They're doing fine, cashing in on it. But what? These are the results of freedom? Beverly Hills, California, community that I lived very close to for many years, not with close contacts, just proximity, is probably the party capital of the world. The party capital. They say there's more parties going on any one night in Beverly Hills than in throughout the state of California in a month. I'm not sure that's statistically accurate, but Beverly Hills should be the happiest place in the world. There's always parties going on. Yet Beverly Hills has highest suicide rate, highest divorce rate, one of the highest drug and alcohol abuse rates. And in Beverly Hills, everybody has a shrink. Some have two in case one goes on vacation or is unavailable that day. And Beverly Hills is the singular community that invented the concept of a canine shrink. Do you know what a canine shrink is? You shouldn't know from it, like my grandmother used to say. Okay? Why? So many parties! Such happiness! Such freedom to do what they want! Freud is the Rava Machshir that sanctions doing what you want. Everybody is here, one big accident, no shackles, no religious directives, no 613 problems, freedom to party all day long. Why is everyone so miserable there? And I think that really this could be understood in a very simple way. We know that we're privileged to have the secrets of creation at our fingertips. The insights that we find in Torah and in Chazal, Torah Shebaal Peh, even the secrets of the Lashon HaKodesh reveal to us what this world is really all about. Probably the highest form of happiness that we find in Lashon HaKodesh is Osher, spelt with an Aleph. I can't resist a little aside. When I, many years ago, went to Israel to meet a girl who subsequently became my wife, at the time, she spoke only Hebrew and I spoke only English. We got along great, by the way. I think it was the second date where I asked her, what do you want out of life? Like, you know, I wanted to get to know a little bit what's she all about. What do you want out of life? So she told me that all she really wants is lihyot me'usheret. I thought she meant to be wealthy. I thought she wanted my money. I had none. And I wasn't interested in one who wanted my money anyway. Well, I almost packed my bags and went back to the States. But I think by the next time I already figured out that Mu'usheret is with an ayin, and osher, happiness, is with an aleph. Osher, Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecho. Dovid HaMelech said, Acha Shualti Beis Hashem, Oiso Avakesh, Shivti Beis Hashem. What was his one wish in life? Dovid HaMelech had everything in the world. He only wanted L'sheves Beis Hashem. Ashrei, happy is the one, the ultimate happiness, one who sits Beis Hashem. In Loshon HaKodesh we know that the three-letter Shoyrish of the word describes the essence of the concept. Loshon HaKodesh is the only language that's not arbitrary. A table is not a table just because someone decided to call it a table, as it is in English or any other language. But the Sheirish of the word describes, tells us the secret, the essence of the concept. The Sheirish of Oysher, with an Aleph, is Ishur Le'asher, to validate. Happiness is all about validation. Feeling good about oneself. That's what it is. If a person feels good about him or herself, we're happy. Don't need anything else. Now, let's go back to Beverly Hills and see the happiness that exists or doesn't exist in Beverly Hills. Well, I think it's very simple. If happiness means feeling good about myself, and if the only way I can feel good is to take in things from the outside, it's a party, it's a pleasure, it's a drink, it's a drug, it's a thrill, it's an experience. That's the only way I have any relief from my misery. All it does is invalidate me, because it underscores even more that I'm nothing. I'm worthless. I'm trash. I need constant outside stimuli and imbibing outside materials and experiences in order to feel temporarily good, not even happy, Cholila, just relieved from my emptiness and my depression. So it's no wonder that a place that's full of outside experiences that give people their only sense of relief is not a place of much happiness. Happiness has to do with purpose. Darwin missed the boat completely, because what he did is attempt to deprive the world of any validity. How good can I feel about myself? How valid do I feel when I look in the mirror and all I see is a big accident? I'm an accident. I have no purpose. I have nothing. What am I here for? Who needs me? It's depressing more than any other feeling and emotion in all of human experience. Nothing could be worse. So, if we're talking about freedom, freeing us from shackles, freeing us by making us feeling accidents, we're certainly not talking about happiness. We're talking about depression and misery. But we're not even talking about freedom. Because Chazal tell us, the definition of freedom, Ein lecho ben choirin, elami she'oisek batoiro. There is no free person except for the one who is engaged in Torah. What? That's freedom. Maybe that's purpose. That I understand. Hashem creates a world. He created it for a purpose. Creation is a purposeful act. He communicates that purpose to us at Sinai. He gives us a Torah, which is the blueprint of creation, which explains why he put us here and what he expects of us to fulfill our purpose, and therefore the formula for happiness. But how is that the formula for freedom? It's happiness and it's bondage. Through bondage we'll be happy. That I could understand. But freedom? Ein lecho ben choyren elami she'oisik batoiro. Well, I think this requires another foray and analysis of what's going on in the world around us. You know, modern Western civilization has taught us two values that are of major significance. One is this concept of do what you want. Two is no restraint, no limitations, nothing to hold us back. And especially if we're accidents, then by definition, there's nothing that holds us back because we have no purpose to fulfill in the first place. What does that do to us? What it does to us is removes not just our freedom, it removes our humanity, because we are now relegated to the same category as animals. What is an animal? What's the difference between a highly developed animal and a human being? The difference really is in the brain, in the conscience, in the ability to use my intelligence, my superior intelligence, to bring my animal cravings and leanings under control. It's all about control. An animal has no control. An animal has instincts. An animal is conditioned. And an animal, no matter what you think, and no matter how he's trained, never gains that self-control that he can't just be tempted and just gives in. Doesn't have a moral compass. Doesn't have a value system. Doesn't have the ability to take those values and those wisdoms that I know to be right, that I know to be just, that I know to be true, and bring them to bear on the passions and the desires of my heart. So I give in. So I don't give in. This is not even a battle. I do whatever comes to mind, I do. And that's our society. Do whatever you please. Give in to all of your desires. Never think of the consequences tomorrow. Just let it go. Freedom. That's freedom. I don't have the ability to control myself, and you call me free? I'm out of control. That's not freedom. Freedom is the ability to make a decision and to implement the decision and to get every fiber of my being, body and soul in sync with that decision and to follow my directives. That's freedom. Freedom is the ability to lead the passions and desires in the direction that help me fulfill my purpose and bring me to ultimate happiness in this world, not even to mention in the world to come. And that feeling of control, that feeling of being in control, that feeling of I have a desire and I don't let it play itself out according to any whim, but I judge it and bring it under control and decide this is what has to be done. This is what's right. This is what's appropriate. And I act accordingly. That sensation of freedom. That's a sensation of power. Ezehu gibor hakivishis yitzroi. One who has the ability to overpower the desires and to bring them in line with that which I know to be true. And to make them part of a system of fulfilling my purpose, which gives me that sense of meaning and purpose in life and ultimately happiness in this world, because I live with a purpose. I have a purpose and I know my purpose, and I can control my instincts and my passions to live in sync with that purpose. Wow, I feel like a gibor. I'm fulfilling my purpose. I'm powerful. I'm happy. And I'm free because I am in control. Freedom is about control. How do we take control? Why hasn't the world caught on that self-control is the greatest gvura, is the greatest fulfillment of the human potential? Why is that such a secret? Well, a number of years ago, maybe close to probably 25, 30 years ago, in the state of California, they conducted a five-year study. And the object was to find out how well they can do teaching morality, values, ethics in the public school without once mentioning the name of Hashem. Because in a public school, its religion is not to be an active factor. It's not supposed to be mentioned. Therefore, they're going to teach values, ethics, judgment, control, without once mentioning the name of Hashem. At the end of 5 years, the results of this study were published, and it was unequivocal. The study was a total failure. Not the study was a failure, the project was a failure, because they did not make even an indentation in terms of self-control, in terms of morality, in terms of ethics, in terms of values on the student population that they taught. And they taught them about honesty and integrity and sensitivity and love and caring and patience, all of the virtues. But there was no moral authority. It was just a social agreement that we agree that this value, this virtue is virtuous, that this, it's good to be nice, it's good to be kind, it's good to be polite, it's good to be honest. And I'll say it's bad to be honest and do me something. Everybody can say what he wants. The ultimate freedom. Yet they couldn't have any impact on a massive society of young people to bring any part of their moral being under even a modicum of control. Why not? Because control has to do with a moral authority. Without an authority, without directives from a director, doesn't work. And if, by the way, the directives come from the wrong director, it also doesn't work. And that's why, believe it or not, most of human civilization throughout the ages has piggybacked on Yahadus, on Torah min HaShomayim, on Maimed Har Sinai, and Yitzias Mitzrayim as the basis and the foundations of their faith. What do I mean? It's only in Yahadus, only in Judaism, that we find the following two claims. Number one, that the Creator revealed himself to an entire nation, millions of eyewitnesses, and introduced himself and his powers as creator. You know, creation, we don't have eyewitness testimony, the Ramban tells us, because, forgive me for putting it this way, but Adam Rishon slept late the first day. He got up Friday afternoon. It was not his fault. That's when he was created. And by the time he awoke, the world was created. So there was no witness, no eyewitness testimony to creation. Comes along Mitzrayim, and millions of people, including millions of Jews and millions of Mitzrim, witness the equivalent of creation itself. A Jew and a Mitzri drinking from the same glass, one drinking water, the other one dumb. A Jew and a Mitzri sitting and standing in the same room, one, La Yehudim Hoysa Oiro, full of light, the other one frozen in a pillar of darkness that he couldn't even move. A Jew and a Mitzri, as Chazal tell us, if they were partners in a tree, and the Jew owned the roots, and the Mitzri the branches would be devoured in Makas Arbe, and the roots would remain firm. And if the Mitzri owned the roots, and the Jew the tree, the branches, the branches would remain, the roots would be uprooted, and the tree would hang in animated suspension. Millions of eyewitnesses to untold, unparalleled miracles. Nisim Gluyim, which allowed these millions of witnesses to realize that there's a creator. A creator. He is the master of creation. If he created the world, a creative act has a purpose. And he told us the purpose. The purpose is to take you to Har Sinai. That's why we're going out of Mitzrayim. To go to Har Sinai, to receive the blueprint of this creation, the directives to live according to the purpose for which I created you. The true source of happiness and the true source of freedom. Because I have a letter. I have a directive from the Creator himself revealing to me the purpose of his creation. And this is why the world piggybacks on these events, because they don't have public miracles. Nobody has seen such miracles except the Klal Yisrael. And therefore the great religions of the world, as they build their own religion and divert their efforts and their observances from those of Klal Yisrael, they build it on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Open up a Christian Bible, and first you find Exodus. There's Genesis is first, and then there's Exodus. There's Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the miracles. Maimon Har Sinai, public revelation to the Jewish people at Har Sinai. Christianity, Islam, and major religions in the world all subscribe to this because it's their only claim to fame. It's the only way they could say that God revealed himself to the world and showed us his directives. Of course, then they make some mistakes and they say, well, he changed his mind. Either Torah says he'll never change his mind. He can change his mind. You know, that's a whole... I got to tell you, I can't resist. But once I was on a plane... I flew from Toronto early in the morning to Edmonton, Alberta, to travel 4 more hours to the Canadian Rockies to put on a seminar there for Not From people. And as I sit down in the last row, the last seat, the back, the plane takes off and they bring me my kosher breakfast. The guy sitting one seat away, there was an empty seat in the middle, he was by the window, I was by the aisle, and he says to me, looks like a intelligent, well-dressed businessman, you know, non-Jewish. He says, I feel sorry for you. So I said, I don't understand why you feel sorry for me. This breakfast is very good. And besides that, there's 150 people in the plane. You're going to have to wait until they serve everybody else they were serving from up front. And I got my breakfast even before anybody got started. So what do you think, sorry? He says, no, that's not what I mean. I feel sorry for you being bound by these archaic laws of Moses. And then he began to give me some popless or some quick lesson in pop Christian theology, which I'm not sure what it was. It's a lovely set of the love of man, the love of God, the love of God, blah, 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 whatever it is, and we don't have to do anything else. Because of that part I heard, we don't have to do anything else. So it was a 4-hour flight. I brought a lot of work with me. I wasn't in the mood for this guy. So I wanted to, you know, leave me alone. It wasn't nice. So I said, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in the Bible? He says, absolutely. Every word is the truth. Is that the gospel truth? I didn't want to use that word here. Anyway, so I said to him, I says, do you know that the Bible talks about a prophet that does miracles and then suggests that we leave the old God of Israel and join up with some newfound religious observances? Are you familiar with that chapter? And he says, yes. I said, do you know what the Bible mandates to such a prophet? And he turns to the window, and for 4 hours he looked out that window. I suggest that you fly from Toronto to Edmonton. There must be beautiful scenery there. For 4 hours out the window, didn't turn around, Nebuch didn't have his breakfast, nothing. Because he knew that the Torah says such a prophet is put to death. And if you ask the question, how come he was able to do such miracles? So the Torah says, "Ki menase Hashem elokeichem eschem, v'odas hayishchem oyavim es Hashem elokeichem v'chol levavchem v'chol nafshechem." It's all a test. Hashem sometimes tests us. So nobody can come. Even a Novi who allegedly is coming with miracles in the name of Hashem could come to change the Torah. So it's real. It's eternal. It's permanent. So we have this permanent directive. So they made a mistake. You know, they forget. I once got very close, somebody who had studied many years to be a priest, and he was mamash, a brilliant scholar. Then he found out in his 30s that he was Jewish. Mamash, the whole thing. He became frum. It was a very interesting story. A brilliant man. So I asked him, what are the answers to this question? He says, there is no answer. There is no answer. There's no answer. It doesn't make any sense. However, everybody subscribes to Yetzias Mitzrayim and Maimon Har Sinai because those are the only claims to real directives in life. There is a creator. There is a purpose. The purpose was revealed publicly in front of millions of witnesses at Har Sinai. So how fortunate we are that we appreciate what our purpose in life is. We can truly achieve human happiness, and we have the means and the tools to achieve chayrus, freedom. Because ein lecho ben chayrin ela mi she'oisik batoira. Who is truly free? One who has the ability to control the animalistic desires. And that's what our society is doing. We're running after things. We're being enticed by things. We're being attracted by things. We're being engaged in things. Today, it's not enough for the animalistic society to stand outside. They have invaded the privacy of our homes. You know, it used to be, I remember the day when there wasn't even a private telephone line, when we used to share a party line, it was called, with two neighbors in the same house. Imagine that. They would have one telephone line. You pick up the phone. If you wanted to make a phone call, you have to first hear if your upstairs neighbor is not using the phone. And if they are, you hang it up, unless you want to listen to their conversation, and you wait until they're finished. Then they came up with this brilliant invention. Every family can have their own phone right in the kitchen. Imagine talking on the phone in the middle of the kitchen. No privacy. Freedom, but no privacy. Ah, now we get the phone with extensions in our room. Still not enough privacy because someone could pick up and listen. Then they invented in the 60s this little button that you could pull up and cuts off all the other extensions when you talk. A little better, but who's listening at my door? But today, I don't need a telephone. I don't need a landline phone. I don't have to be locked in my room and putting towels on the bottom so nobody should be able to hear through it, or turn the music up loud so nobody should hear what I'm talking about. I just take my phone and walk in the backyard or walk across the street, and nobody knows. It used to be when I would call in to tell my parents where I was, they could figure it out from the phone number from which I called. Today, wherever I am, I could be out of the country for the evening. I mean, I could be in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, and I still could have the same phone number. What a world. So much freedom. But the world doesn't have freedom because control is freedom. The ability to control myself. The ability to say no to the temptations of the world. The ability to lock out that rancid and sick influence that the world impacts upon all of us and say, I'm above that. I'm in control of myself. You can't tantalize my passions and my emotions because the directives that I have from the creator of the world who revealed himself in Mitzrayim and then again on Sinai and gave me the directives which were the purpose for his creation and gave me the basics, the tools with which to live a meaningful, purposeful, happy, and self-controlled life. To feel gvura, my life has meaning and my life has power. You empowered me. No morality, values, nothing in the world can empower like the directives of the Creator himself. So, ein lecho ben chayrin ela mi she'oisik b'Torah. True freedom that we celebrate is based on the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the subsequent Kabbalas HaTorah, because that's where we get the ability to control ourselves, which is the ultimate of freedom. So with all due respect And I don't think there's much that's due to Sigmund Freud and Charles Darwin and their likes. They missed the boat. That's not what happiness is about, because it deprives the world of purpose. And that's not what freedom is about, because it deprives the world of the ability to control itself. It takes away the sense of purpose and creation and directives, and therefore the ability to be able to be free. Free to do what I know is right. Free to do what I know is beneficial. Free to do what I know is good for me, will fulfill, truly fulfill my purpose in creation and allow me to feel truly happy. That's some ideas on freedom. I'm not sure how you're going to use it at your Seder, but if we can use it in our lives, that probably will also be somewhat of a benefit. I wish everybody a Chag Kosher Sameach.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.